Hello, I'm on the air. This is Kathy Cook. The show is called Bridging Wisdom. A lot of people know me as Bright Lights Pathfinders back in the day. I have been away from the computer for several days just to give myself a little break because I've been writing a story, a really neat story for many, many years. And sometimes it takes me to step away from what I'm doing in order for it to settle, for me to be able to see the best, most beautiful, most exciting story that it unfolds. I believe that we all are writing a story since we've come here. But sometimes when your ears get a little messed up, like mine are, please excuse me, but my ears have a little bit of a, I don't know what it's called. But it's when your ears get the equilibrium's flowing wrong. Anyway, I'm glad that I'm here. I'm really happy that I'm here because glad, quite frankly, isn't really a word so that the Godfather, my children, said to me. But anyway, we're going to just take it where it goes. I don't plan. Whatever happens, happens. And first of all, I would like my God, my Creator, that I choose to call Jesus Christ Almighty, the one and only vessel that comes through me for no other channels, to speak for me, do for me, act for me, be for me, speak for me in every way, shape, and form. And from this moment back, any and all things that have been said or done in any way, shape, or form, be used to the good and the glory of my God's will, not mine, but for the goodness of this world and the peace and the respect of each person's identity, each person's religion, each person's parts of their stories, that everyone respects everyone. For I realize that I haven't been respecting myself as much as I should. Therefore, it was a good hard lesson that I learned the past couple of days. And I am grateful for each and every one of everybody that's ever touched my life. The most beautiful blessings of lessons for me. I maybe don't use the lessons right away, but they're always there for me to pull on if I need them. And today's date is the day Tuesday, and it's the 15th of May, 2011. Sunday was Mother's Day, and I got the most beautiful card from my oldest son and his wife that it's exactly what I needed to hear. You know, you maybe don't hear, I know I don't sometimes hear or feel other people cheering me on, but if I just know that as much as I love them, I'm sure they love me that much. But the card said, Happy Mother's Day to our fearless leader and an amazing mom. That really, really hit home for me because I don't see my son much or his wife, but to know that I set an example for them to follow, you know, even though they're on their own now. And that was really touching for me. My daughter, Ashley, she's always been like my little butterfly. She's my little master butterfly. She has loved butterflies since she was born, just like I did. And I looked at her card, and it was all butterflies, and it was just beautiful. And how we go from below to above, back below as above. And then my son Matthew and his wife Jackie, you know, he works hard for what he gets alive. He's passionate, gentle, just don't step on his toes. Let him find it out on his own, you know. Each person in this world, I realize more and more, there is no duplicate at all. It takes little pieces and particles of everything that we step across in this earth and in our dreams and our caretakers and our peers to get us to who we are. If I allow others to mold me gently with care, then it does get applied. But if it hurts or it's something that doesn't feel quite right, maybe I need to look at that. because maybe I'm in return doing that to another person. So that saying, what comes around goes around. You know, I want to share something that came to me the other day before I shut the computer off. And it was, I keep going back to my dad, my biological father, John Walton Hill Jr. And it was the day he had his surgery for his diagnosis of what they first thought was cryptococcus. And Mom and Aunt Vicky and Daddy and I were the only ones in that room. And he asked what the doctor found. And Aunt Vicky and Mom wanted to bear him a little more time of not knowing. And he looked up at me because he knew how I just was instowed. I mean, instowed in my life. I just tell it. And it'll adhere to the person that needs to hear it the way they need to. He looked at me out of his left eye, just a little teeny, one little teeny tear fell from his eye. Hadn't even fallen yet. It was still right there on the corner. He said, "Kathy, honey, tell me. I know you'll tell me the truth. What did the doctor say?" And then I told him that he was in stage four, early stages of stage four. Cancer of the lung. And I just want to say, I think about that tear often. That one tear that's salt, salty tear. It's the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Before that tear was inside of him, he knew nothing about what the doctors were going to say or what he had ahead of him. All he knew is that, all I knew is that one little tear on the left corner of his eye came from the purest part of him before the words were spoken out about what was wrong and what he had. And the light inside of both of our eyes, looking back and forth at each other, that little teardrop had the most beautiful rainbow in it. Just beautiful rainbow colors. And I always hold on to that one little tear because he had that one little tear again right before he passed. And to me, you know, if you go back to the very beginning of Noah's Ark, when God promised never to destroy the world like he did again with the floods, the rainbow path, the rainbow children, all that's about the rainbow, you know, that's come up, this Hopi prophecy. I don't really know much about the Hopi prophecy except for what is in my heart. I do know that I've written several stories about where the animals go when they die, and they're in the land of forget-me-nots, touching to the land of the living with good dreams, little gold flicks. That's another story, but go back to that one drop. When Michael said that it takes one drop to go into that vast ocean, become all consciousness together. And that's true. Because it just takes one teardrop from heaven, the heavens above, and allow the perfect, beautiful light to shine into that teardrop. That's why light is in love, and it's not separate. Because if I separate it, it's two individual things, but light is in love. The salt of the earth, the light of the world, the true creation. We are all seated at the right hand of the most amazing I don't even have words for it. But it's how we choose to make our destiny, how we choose to build our treasures up in heaven, how we choose to be the architect of the blueprint My son Jason went to school for architecture for a year before he settled into being a specialist of water and soil and engineer. And I had an uncle that was an architect. I realized in the past couple of days of just being real still and going within myself, just totally blanking myself out to sleep and letting all the pieces of so many ideas that I have, that which way I need to go and which way I should go, for the not only for the good of me, but to lead by an example, is that it takes every single particle of each person that has come across my life and that will come across my life to see the goodness in each person and the spark of love that they have in their heart. I've learned over the past that nothing is wrong with anyone's program. Nothing's wrong with anyone's plan, as long as it's used to the goodness of them and others. The respect that I give to myself is what respect I'm going to get out there on the other side of this world. Now, I do storyboards when I want to understand something for myself. No one else, but for myself. It's something I've done since I can't remember not to. And with all my things still being packed up or moved, my little storyboard stuff, I went into this back room that I've never used. And I used daily things like food, empty cigarette packs, papers, just anything that I pulled out, and I left it there intentionally because I needed to go into my heart as deep as I possibly could without any fear and non-judgmental. Because believe you me, if I had a thought some people were watching on the other side of my monitor, they could have seen and they could have tried to put it together as what they needed it to be. But without feelings, they could have never understood. And that's okay. That's just like with me reading a story or seeing somebody else's something. Unless I'm in their shoes, I cannot feel or understand what it is meant in jest. But what I learned was to be the best that I can be, that my grandmother, Hill, held my hand and said, "You've got hands like your grandfather," my great-grandfather, healer of hands. It's not so much that my hands touch another, but my hands together in prayer, good incentive to search my roots. I know that I'm learning every day myself, because as so many know, that we came here asleep, you know, when we came from the heavens. I remember a story. I saw a star back on Rocking Chair Road, and Linda Evans was, oh gosh, that Dynasty movie was going on back then. My mother and father just loved Dynasty and Falcon Crest. And her husband, Yanni, was playing some music, and I just went out there. To me, music without words talked to me so deeply because they give me a chance to be in the music of what those musical notes need to say to me. I'll never forget looking up there and seeing that star. And I said, "That's where I came from. Shinoya," which I thought it was "She Knows You," but it was Shinoya. And "She Man," I didn't know what that meant. I guess I thought at first that meant, you know, evenly balanced. like the word she, and then you can slice the S and it's a he, she, he. But that's when I started really, really realizing that I could go anywhere I want in my meditations, because the imagination is the limit. If I don't hold back and I want to feel the water rushing over my body in the depths of the water, or if I want to spin out and go over the top of the stars, if I want to see through an eagle's eyes, heavens, I don't know that's exactly what they see, but in my visions of need, I can literally feel it. My mother said the other day, she said, Tess, sometimes mother takes their golden eggs, their eggs, and they want to hover them and protect them so much that it could kill them and choke them out. And sometimes you've got to let them go when it's time. It's hard to kick some out of the nest, you know. But when I look back at some of my best teachers, my strongest teachers, Medicine Walker and, oh man, Coffee 21 and so many. There's too many to name. But when I know that it's time for us to go on our own, my mother used to teach me, sometimes you got to do that hard, tough core love. You know, like you don't want them around. But inside you're just crying so hard. I don't see a lot of the people that I worked with or worked with me. But I know in my heart that they're right where they're supposed to be, just like I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I do want to share that I have learned, I was questioning last week, what is the difference in hope, belief, faith, and knowing? When my mother called me on the phone the other day, she says, what does the knowing tell you? I said, Mom, I'm not the knowing. God's the knowing. She says, well, without even thinking, what is the knowing telling you that I'm doing? And I applied it to what I was doing, which was cleaning out things I don't need anymore. So therefore, I shared that with her. And she said, you're exactly right. I'm cleaning out things that I don't need to have around me anymore, that do not serve its purpose, that maybe will serve purpose for other people, somebody else that needs something. And I realize that sometimes I don't always understand things that are for my best interest. But in order for me to be the best that I can be, I have to be open to any and all types of good, bad, and indifferent in order for it to be a balance in my life. Because I can swirl right on down into that. I don't know what it's called, but I go down in there sometimes. Kind of like a hurricane or a tornado, you know, or when you flush the toilet, it swirls. But if you leave it alone, if I leave it alone, don't fight it, and just ride with it, and spin with it, then it's just like with doing ballet and spinning. And just knowing that if I stay on my mark and stop, there it is. But what I'm learning to do is not to be so, after I stop the spin in my life, you know, like a washing machine in its spin cycle, if I stop it and just know that I'm in the right balancing place and don't guess it, just don't guess about it, just know it. And that's the mark that I stopped on. Then I can go from there forward. I've said many, many, many times how we're walking like on a tightrope. Life is like a tightrope. We have got to know without a doubt that that one foot's going to go in front of the other perfectly in alignment. I know that it's great to leaders. Like somebody said, focus on the head in front of you to cross over the big gap from one ravine to another. And I learned from that, if I focus on that person's head in front of me, That is great. But what if the person in front of them or in front of them teetered a little bit? It would cause a chain reaction of falling. So I have to depend on up and out. That way I won't fall. With respect, the person in front of me that is leading the way, but with respect in the highest degree of up and out, depending on one place in my heart, which is God. God gives us different people and places and things to learn from and to understand things. But I know that I am myself, and I am myself with one, and that's God. The rest can connect, and they'll come in and out of my life all kinds of different ways. But it's up to each person to find their own way to get to that side that they need to. I mean, we all make things, you know, tools and words and stories for others. But if we can respect the other person's, that worked for them, and maybe take pieces and particles of it, you know, with respect. But know that until I find who I am, find what works for me, then and only then is it going to be able to apply and fit me. Kind of like a, what do you call it, a tailored outfit. My dad always said that he was holding the umbrella, and the handle was the Mimi, which was my mother, and that his umbrella didn't have any holes in it. And that's correct, because the umbrella is a protection of a family, a unit. Nobody else but the family. My brothers, Johnny, Kathy, Barry, Susan, David, Mom and Daddy, and then siblings that come on behind it or underneath that tarp of umbrella. I like what Medicine Walker taught me that time about the more the umbrella tarp gets a hole in it from the negative, the more the white light shines. But you know, that doesn't resonate with me today, but it's a good analogy because then it's pure light. But it's exposed to the light. And I've learned that I have to respect the light with reverence and humbleness, because just like with the sun, if I go out there, like with the kids playing ball, which we traveled all over the place in Little League and All-Stars and softball, if I did not respect that sun that was beating down on us and children and giving them, you know, their oranges and their fruit and keeping them cooled down at certain times gently, that sun can burn me. It could totally dry me out and burn me. Or I can respect it with the proper, you know, timing outside the sun at certain times of the day, or, you know, with the umbrella and the proper sunscreen, and it'll give me the proper nourishment. Now, I bet if people started looking in this house and looking in my computer, looking at me, if I was out in the public open, you know, if I was out and everybody was focusing on me, I'm just hypothetically, to try to draw someone's conclusion of what they're doing this for, if without feelings, it's just that, a thesis, or, you know, it's their understanding and not mine. Because I don't go out in the sun right now. I would love to go out in the sun, but my neighbor next door has all these little pampas grass with the little white things, and they float all in the yard. The only way I could go out in the sun would be with a thing over my face, that I couldn't get the allergies. I was born with allergies, hey, can't help it. But I do know that the honey helps that a lot. I feel the best when I'm at the beach, you know, and it's not real hot. And I feel at home most in the mountains. But that's not where I'm at today, and that isn't feasible for me financially right now. So I make the best at what I've got, and I'm grateful that my father and mother left me this house for lifetime rights, and they helped take care of me and all things in life. And they were very smart not to ever give me money, because I give it away. That's for sure. I love to have people happy. The thing that I've learned too is that if I took, like I've been doing, take away everything that is materialistic, and be as simple as I can, and let what I've learned from assets and debits and morals that were taught to me, as well as, motives. Well, it was several different things we did, but folded the sheet in half. Everything my parents taught me, all the morals, all the behaviors, and then on the other side of the paper, I didn't look at what I had written down. I made myself a list of what I felt were my morals and my motives and my best assets. Put that aside, then I got another piece of paper out, did a do's and don'ts. Put that paper aside, got another paper out. Acceptance and things that I could work on and get better at. I accept that I'm dyslexic. I accept it. I accept that I have no matter how many tutors and private teachers I had to learn to spell and read, that's just the way my brain's made. But that's okay, because you know what? When it's time, it'll be what it's supposed to be. If I'm to write a book, that's what's held me back from writing a book. Writing my stories out. It's because a 3 is an E half the time, and, things twirl all around in my, I don't know why, that's just the way it is. And I noticed that my mom tells me this is how I know this is so true. She says I get way ahead of the story that I'm trying to tell her, and I give her pieces, just one, pieces that come along the way. And all I can think of that is when I was tested for ADHD for college as an adult, and they explained to me that it was like most people have a filter on their brains. And when I am not with the proper medication for ADHD to slow my mind down, then that filter's wide open and all kinds of junk comes in, from a song to a color to a memory to whatever, and it all mushes together. But as long as I have my screen on, my brain, in order to be able to filter the connections that they need to stay in their categories. Because, my passion's so deep and my heart's very sensitive. And I try to turn my heart into heart to be shielded so that it doesn't hurt so much. But the one thing I can say is I'm grateful for exactly how God made me, exactly how I am today. I'm grateful for every single thing that's happened from me this moment past, because I wouldn't be where I am today. And with the help of proper people, maybe I'm getting that story out there to help others. All I want in my whole life, is for people to not and respect, and everybody, you want to be. If I treat somebody harsh or hard, maybe I need that. Maybe that's when I need a discipline. I always love and care. Having a lot of hard, a real hard time, and I need to do something. And it's the toughest thing I've ever had to come across. But I've got to know that animals have that choice. My little dog is not feeling very well. My little puppy, whoopy, girly, whirly. Yes, there's really, really is, y'all. His new name is Twinkle Twinkle, Long Tongue, Liquor Liquor, Labor Dog, Pimento Cheese, Peanut Butter and Jelly Sandwich, Salami Bologna, and my Sylvania Light Bulb. She's my bright spot. That my friend gave me back for Christmas. Little sock fetcher. I've got to make the decision to put her to sleep. But sometimes she's okay. But 90% of the time she's not. I don't think she's been puppy whoopy for like a year now. But I look back at everything this past year's brought where I fuss at her and holler at her because she can have the time here, half the time not. Sometimes she can go to the bathroom outside, sometimes she can't. But I've got to look at it and be grateful that she has a choice. She can go on and be that story where all our wishes are and living at the cup of the Big Dipper where all the land of forget-me-nots live. The animals sprinkle the good dream dust upon us while we're sleeping this little flecks of gold dust. I ask all that listen today to just touch my heart and touch Puppy Whoopi's heart for me to know the right thing to do for her. I know I may be bounced in and out for a couple of months really strongly. And it started with her always being on my heart and mind. And I learned also from a strong leader of mine to put my feelings on the side. I have to learn to put my feelings over there and get my work done and get done what I'm supposed to do. Because if I brought my feelings into this public broadcast or into what I write or say or teach, then it would get all jumbled up. And with me having such a compassionate, sensitive heart, I know that I've got to put that aside. I'm learning to make a new list to follow by for myself, new rules and guidelines, you know. I want to get out more. I want to bite the bullet with this pain in my body and just do it. You know, I have my good days and bad days with the pain tolerance. And again, if I don't get out there and be back with people that I love so much, even if it's a nursing home or children's house or whatever, go read at the library. How can I get fulfilled by holding it inside and just wondering if other people, places or things are hearing me or whatever, you know? I do suffer from severe PTSD, and each time it was from a broken heart. From my heart breaking in half. Because you know what? Somebody asked me a long time ago. They said, do you believe that even the deepest, darkest, nasty in the world has a spark of light of love? And I said, of course. There is no just pure black, dark evil. Because Creator created. I love and care, and that spark's in there. I believe that once we see the relations of all people, places, and things with respect and their boundaries, that's one thing that I'm having a hard time learning is boundaries. Because I gave my children boundaries so high that I would have never, I put their clothes at the end of their door. I would not go into their room. But the thing is, did I put boundaries for myself? Or am I like an ever-flowing water, you know? I know that I am, but I do know that with all things, we have to have rest and respect. Not too much, not too little, just right. And I'm going to start remembering my cautions and my flags again inside my heart. If it doesn't resonate properly, it's something I need to maybe set to the side and look at later. And not take things so onto my heart, but just put my feelings aside and be a cheerleader for each and every person and each and everything. I go some places sometimes in my meditations, you guys, that even cease to amaze me, because with anything in my heart, I believe in myself that strong. If I want to go into a spiral of these colors and my thoughts, I can literally feel that and explode out into graffiti and come back around together to myself. If I want to feel like I use an owl, for example, because my ears, my sister stuck a sucker stick in my ear when we were little playing Touche Away, and it scratched my eardrum. So I always have this little sound like a broken speaker or amplifier in my ear. It gives me this, you know, sometimes. So what I learned in the past several months is to lay my head on my pillow while I'm listening to the wonderful BBS people sharing their pieces with experience, strength, and hope, or music, or wherever I may go. Red Ice Radio to Sky Radio to I don't mean to keep anybody out, but Blog Talk Radio is like, that's the most amazing place to go and visit and listen to, too. And I heard his story where he got his initiative to make that blog talk from working, wanting to share something with his dad. That was so beautiful. Anyway, everybody's story connects to everybody's story. That's what I've learned, that everybody has a piece inside of their own story that resonates with another person. And sometimes my being, you know, too tired or trying to figure things out, if I don't try to figure things out, they just come about. But a lot of times, I've always thought what I put out there in the internet or in a story was just something that I understood for me. And until I shared how I saw it or felt it or understood it, it'll be just my truth. It's just like with listening to the people that I listen to on air, you know. I tell you one person that's really taught me a lot, and I have to hand it to them, because they're probably my hardest, strongest teacher. And when I get upset with somebody, this is a heads up. If I'm aggravated with somebody, that's because they're touching a spot in me that I don't want to look at. But that's Ron. Forget his last name, Ron. creation lightship guy. You know, I kept saying, why is it a dollar for water? You know why it's a dollar for water? You know why? It's not what he's saying to everybody else. It was me not drinking enough water. And I need more water in my body. I need to drink more water. And I need to drink healthy water. And my son being a water and soil specialist, shoot, all I have to do is have him look, you know, tell me which water's the best for me. But I am probably the worst, one of the worst of myself. I don't know why I have always in my lifetime not wanted to drink water. But that's why, you know, people maybe, if I was on a stage and everybody could hear what I was saying in my own personal home, I fussed it at that run creation lightship a lot because it was me needing to learn something from him and I didn't want to see it. And I want to thank that gentleman and his need to care so much for us to have healthy water and count slowly to get our breath back together, because he counts on his show. And if I counted real slow, like Bonnie and Bunny and I used to do, you know, count in and breathe out before we move or make action. These are little things that are for me. Nobody else, just me. If I could figure out anything that bugs me or aggravates me, instead of allowing it to keep festering and bugging me, or just write about it, it's something good. It's something good for me because it wouldn't be bugging me and pestering me. It would just have resonated and gone on the flood, you know. Now, I know I'm bouncing a little bit today, but that's okay. As usual, I don't plan for these broadcasts. And I'll go back and listen and see what was inside my heart that wanted to be said. I do want to say I'm so grateful to the grandmothers. Not just my kin grandmothers, but the grandmothers that teach me, that taught me. Like that 12-sided lodge. And then from there, being with some of those grandmothers, it's blowing my mind now. Bridget took a lot of my, on purpose. Bridget was my teacher. And she took me to Pennsylvania and taught me a lot out there. And, you know, we went out. My family used to go, where is she taking you now? We'd say we're going to play bingo and we'd be gone for 3 days. She always had some kind of adventure to show me, to help me heal. And Mary Jo, Karen, who kept my stones when I left them there that year. But I remember looking at each one of those people that were in that lodge, and Gramps Kitty. It's like a dream, but it was real. And I am so grateful that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Thus, the teacher becomes the student. When we let go, things will come in our life the way they should be instead of forcing them. Just like with my granddaughter trying to take that triangle and trying to stick it in that square peg round hole, learning her objects and shapes. Can't force it. That's what Pete taught me. He was a good old Pete. He taught me when he was shoveling the gravel around the barn one day to make a ditch. He said, you can't force that gravel. You got to encourage it along with patience. And there it'll be every time. We can't force things in life. We might have a deadline, but I know with me, I have to stay like that of a turtle. I have to keep going slow so that I can keep going in the same direction. And some people want to know how deep that rabbit hole is. There was this wonderful man in Yahoo chat back in the day, the Astro Rooms. He had an accent. I don't remember his name, but he would go by Speak Your Conviction. And he used to ask me, why did Alice cry the bucket of tears? Which is when she fell down that rabbit hole. Why did she cry the bucket of tears? And then he said, always keep enough to myself instead of bouncing it out there to see what it felt like. Or would get resonate to because sometimes it's just for me. And that's true. I know that I was raised with the most amazing life. At the time, I hated most of it, not hated it, but I don't like to be conformed. But we had this fox hunt. I didn't go on it much because it hurt me to chase the daggum little fox. But my dad raised field trial beagles, field champion beagles. He would send he was all in the magazines back then, and he had the best time getting to know people. And the beagles would just show, they wouldn't go out and chase the rabbit or whatever. They would go on field trial. And it was according to how the beagle would behave and do its commands and how it would stand. And he had one named Lemonade, and my son Matthew got to get that little dog Lemonade. And I don't know why Lemonade's sticking out so much in my heart, but yeah, I do, because Lemonade was in labor and Daddy was at the beach, and he had put the pen on top of the ground, and he had put burlap to cover the hole so that Lemonade would feel very, secluded and safe to give birth. And I went out there to check on the dogs, as I always did when he was gone. That little Lemonade's back leg was twisted and wrapped in that burlap. I was freaked. I didn't know how to get it off, and she's having babies. So I went and got my friends. They like to be called the rednecks. They did the telephone, during the week, and then they go back to their families in the weekend. They came from deep in the mountains. But I knew that one of them knew what to do about that situation. And the dog had, it's literally cut off and it is gangrene. And without that person, I wouldn't have been able to get that dog to the proper help to get that leg amputated. The puppies were okay. That was something. That was something else. And that Lemonade went on to be one of the top breeds for the field trial champion beagles. Now, we used to, gosh, I must have been in 10th or 11th grade, but I learned to, Daddy would get these retired racehorses, Finesse, Nibo. They had these numbers in their lip. Tassie. That's where Tassie, we had this little filly named Tassie that came from Excessive. And I had to learn. I didn't want to, but I had to learn to fox hunt. I was such a tomboy. But I had to learn the difference in barrel racing and bareback and all that stuff to see the difference in the cultures and etiquettes. That was one of the funnest times I ever had in my life. Chase, we didn't, I don't know if we even chased a fox. I never did see. All I know is a fox is like the biggest, it's one of my most favorite things, maybe because of that. And the fox hunt, the fox hole, and And what does the fox represent to me? The fox is strong, and it doesn't have anybody change its mind. It's sly in its own way because it doesn't allow other animals or anything to take it off its path. It's loyal to itself to get itself in the right tracks and stay in the right tracks. It's a leader. And when I worked at Kinko's, this gentleman had me make his, help him make his cover for his book. And it was back in World War II, and it was about the foxhole. He explained to me how the foxhole was a safety place. You got a good foxhole, then you're safe, and it's a place to rest. It's a place to each person take their turn in the foxhole to look out for the other while the other rest. And then you have your rabbit hole that so many people question. How far down is that rabbit hole? Well, sheep, fireman, out on Pageland Farm, those rabbit holes went deep and curled and twirled, you know. But I remember one of our old puppies that about 3 months old got stuck down in one of those rabbit holes because it got away from the pack and went out on its own. But my dad, for 3 days and three nights, did not let up till he got that little baby out of that snare in that rabbit hole. You know, he could have just left that dog way down in that hole. And Daddy was tough on his animals. I mean, he used burnt motor oil off the lawnmowers and the tractors. He'd pour that burnt motor oil. Ugh. And he would dip each dog in that burnt motor oil, set aside. He'd kill anything, from mange, fleas, you name it. It was nasty. But that's it's called dipping. And even though Daddy seemed to be pretty tough with his animals, he had to put his feelings to the side in order to take good care of them at times. But you know what I learned from that? How deep is the rabbit hole? It's as deep as one wants to make it. You know? Why would, you know, I go into a hole and the hole can be different meanings to me. Like a pothole. My mother used to sing that song, Detour, There's a Muddy Road Ahead, because of a pothole. My mom taught me, when I go on a detour, even though it's needed because the road's out or whatever, make sure I know to keep my eyes up and out and not down and out. Not to focus on all the cutesy little things along the way, because that's when I get lost. You know, the detours can be helpful, but they can also be jeopardizing. We need different scenery in order to see others' cultures, ways, and means. I love sociology. That I can follow through in sociology and really, really, really get to see others' ways and means and lives and cultures and things. I don't want to push my religion on anyone. I would never push that on anyone. I pull on that because that's my choice. My family said, if we want to meet again after this life, we chose Zion. We chose Jesus Christ's way. That's where we're going to meet. That's how I know where my family's going to be after we pass on this earth. And think of it as a foxhole. You know, Thank you. Think of it like this. We've got 30 seconds left, and all I want to say is be good to you. Be good to yourself so you can be good to others. And with that, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'll see you guys out there. Kathy Cook, Preaching Wisdom, Bright Lights Pathfinder. Over and out. Peace and hope around the president and the government. Always focus on the good. Jesus. Amen.